Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Going good.
It's going good now. It's just gotten better.
And we're going to power through it tonight.
We got a lot to do tonight.
Yes, it's going to be a busy recording session.
So I went for a little paddle on the weekend, but you're coming up to a big paddle.
I am.
You've been doing a lot of packing and...
Packing and planning and research, and it's like, as a few people would contest, like Mike Burns and stuff, I tend not to plan. I just show up. But this one here, I'm going across the country. I should look into it. So I've been doing a lot of research and highlighting maps and marking portages and recording portage lengths and so on. So I am in the final preps in a few days. I will be flying out to Kelowna, and we will be, a group of us will be, with Mike. He was on the episode. We interviewed him one time when he talked about doing this trip. And so I said to him, oh, can I go? And so I'm going. Anyways, so I'm going to be away for 2 weeks, and Mike and his brother and another person I don't know, I haven't met yet, but we're going to be doing the Bowron Canoe Circuit in British Columbia, which is just north of Williams Lake. Anyways, it's mid-BC. It's in the mountains.
Yeah.
I'm going to canoe in the mountains.
That's always nice to do that.
I've looked at a lot of, over the last 6 months or so, I've looked at a lot of photos of the area. If you click on Bowron Lakes Provincial Park, and when you click it on Google Maps, you can see on the left there pictures. So you click on all the pictures, and it's snow peaks and all that stuff, and flat water and
portages and mountains.
Going to be glorious.
Portages and mountains.
Yeah. So I'm halfway through packing, and I think when I leave here tonight, I'm going to be giving Mike a call to touch base and clear up some details, because there's a lot of stuff I can't fly with.
Because there's only a few days left.
Only a few days left, yeah. 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 But you can't fly with fuel or stoves that hold fuel or stuff like that. So there's a lot of planning. And I'm not going to bring a tent. I am going to bring my own sleeping bag. If my life jacket fits, I'm going to bring my own life jacket. Otherwise, I'll have to bore that. I'm already boring a paddle. It's weird to... It's like there's this logistical thing. It's like, well, I can't take that. Can't take that. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm going to an outfitter either. So I have to hope
I'm going on a canoe trip, but I can't bring any of my canoe stuff.
Exactly. So
no, that canoe over there, yeah, I know it's 18 feet long, but it's my carry-on.
It's my does this fit in that cage, the carry-on cage?
Right?
Okay, I'll have to check it.
My solo canoe is 35 pounds. I'm allowed 50 pounds.
It would be a hoot to see somebody portaging a canoe through an airport. What do you mean I can't bring this in here?
But I can't park it in parking. I can't leave it out front. Can't bring it in here.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people?
Was it Kids in the Hall that Mr. Canoehead?
Mr. Canoehead.
Or was that somebody else?
The Red Green Show.
There was one where they got hit by lightning and the Grumman canoe welded to his head. And and so everywhere he went, he showed him out in downtown streets in Toronto all the time with a canoe on his head.
Yep.
Mr. Canoe.
And the lumberjack looking
Was that Red Green? I thought that was Kids in the Hall.
No, I think it was before Kids in the Hall. I'm sure that was the Red Green Show.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's the plan. I'm just doing some final packing ideas, and I upgraded my flight so I could have two check-in luggage, because I'm going to have a lot of gear. And once I get out there, we have about four days. And so I'm going to be doing grocery shopping, because we're going to bring some fresh food and bring in some freeze-dried stuff from here.
Well, they've done that trip too, so.
They've done it. They've been on it. So, but it's just, I have to do my final planning away from home.
Right.
Right?
You've been doing this enough. It'll be.
I know. It's just going to be weird. I've never flown in for a trip. Well, not.
You've done a fly-in trip.
I've done a fly-in trip.
You haven't flown across the country.
Yeah, exactly.
And then have to do your trip.
Yeah. So there might be an MEC stop and a grocery store stop and this, that, the other thing.
Isn't there a mech in Kelowna?
There is, right in Kelowna. Yeah. So Penticton, which is where Mike lives, we're going to fly into Kelowna. And it's like an 8-hour drive without stops. So, you know, stoppage time at the end is up to the canoe circuit, Bowron Lakes. So, yeah, it's going to be on that day. It's going to be a long drive day.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun. I'm very excited about
You're looking forward to it. Yeah, this is a very hectic time for us here at Paddling Adventures Radio. Because lots of trips, lots of plan. Usually we spread everything out from like May to September, October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this year everything seems to be July, August.
Yes, both of us are going to be away a lot.
And the day you get back, the day you get back, you're here for a week, then you're back again, or gone again for a week.
Yep, yep.
And when you get back, I'm gone for 18 days on a solo canoe trip. And then we get back and hopefully the world... No, because then I'm gone for another 4 days to Temagami. I'm home for 2 days. Yeah. I go to work for 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I'm gone again.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to love me. They're going to... You're away from work for 2 weeks. You come back to work for 2 days.
Yeah.
And then you're gone again. I'm still trying to register where there's an issue with that, besides on their half.
There will be a new thing. So I used to camp a lot in BC, and so most of the areas I camped in was it was all black bear territory. Vancouver Island, Strathcona Park, Vancouver Island. I've never camped on the mainland.
Where there's more than just black bears?
Yes.
Like the grizzly type?
There will be grizzly
bears. They're extra cuddly.
Well, that's what they say. These park bears are very friendly bears.
Yes, yes. I think they carry picnic baskets and stuff like that. Yeah, just call them Yogi and they'll wave back to you.
So I've never seen a grizzly bear.
Really?
Not in person.
I remember camping in Jasper and Banff and stuff like that, and at night, you're sitting there in the campsite, and all of a sudden you hear, bear in the park!
Oh, shit.
And people are just scrambling to get in their trailers, their tents, their vehicles. I remember my mom got caught in the outhouse.
Oh.
She's like coming out of the outhouse, and she hears, bear in the park! And there's this big grizzly bear walking up the street, sort of thing. And so she just gets right back in, closes it.
Okay. I just pooped again.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't finished.
Lock the door.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've seen a few grizzly bears over our time, but like I say, they're just wandering looking for a meal and, you know, unless there's something wrong with its brain.
Yeah. And
it's not coming after
you. You hear it happens occasionally, but honest to God, like, we got into the statistics this week, actually, talking about it, because there's a woman there, she... I was at the coffee machine and I heard thump, bang, thump. I look over my shoulder and there's a woman at the vending machine and her chocolate bar got stuck. So she started shaking the vending machine and so her chocolate bar was stuck and she looked at me and she goes, you're not going to tell me, are you? I said, no, didn't see a thing. I gave it a shake. Chocolate bar wouldn't come out. Anyway, so when I got back to my desk, So I Googled it. I've looked at these stats before, but I told the story to anybody, I wanted to say, So statistically, more people are injured and die every year from vending machine tip-overs than... So the stats say that there's a higher chance of you getting injured or killed with a vending machine than sharks or cows. A lot of people get injured or killed
from cows.
Or grizzly bears every year. So the danger is in your own workplace.
Well, if you're shaking a grizzly bar hoping a chocolate bar comes out, you deserve what you get. Because that's not where chocolate bars come
from.
That
bar won't give him a chocolate bar. But yeah, 900-pound vending machine landing on you.
Yeah, it's not as cuddly as a grizzly bear. Yeah, you're going to have a good time out there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to have a blast.
Yeah. And the weather looks good. So, was it nighttime? I just, you can't really trust long-term forecasts. No, but nighttime lows of about 8 to 10 degrees, daytime highs 22. They just finished their heat wave, so in the Bowron Lakes area, it had been up to 30 to 32 degrees last week, but we're getting into a cold spell, and the rain just stopped. It cooled off, and I didn't see any just sprinkles over the next 2 weeks on the long-term forecast. Yeah, it'll change. Eh. Weather is not a science, really.
No.
The weathermen,
especially there.
The weathermen say it's a science, but I don't think it's a science.
In the mountains,
it's just witchcraft.
Just hold your beer and wait for the next thing.
Yep, yep.
Right? The weather changes so fast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I'm
excited. Well, looking forward to hearing about it.
Yes. Yes. There'll be stories. I'll bring some photos, but when I talk about it, we'll put something up on the website so people can see my pictures and so on.
Yeah. Throw stuff on the socials there. And
going to be exciting.
Take a look at Derek. I'll make sure. A grizzly bear.
Make sure there's videos of me being chased up a tree by a grizzly bear.
Riding on top of a bighorn sheep.
Exactly.
Woo! How was your trip? Awesome! Going back next year.
Yes.
You gotta come, man. It was great.
I met Bruce the bear, Billy the billy goat.
Yeah, and snakes.
Yeah, I don't think they have snakes.
Do they not have the timber rattler out there?
I don't. There's no snakes.
What about wolves?
I don't know if they have wolves.
Badgers? Ptarmigans?
They would have...
Wolverines?
Oh, what is it called? Not a gopher. It's a...
Prairie dog. Oh, a pika.
It's not... It's... Well, not pikas. It's a marmot.
Marmot.
They have marmots.
Marmot.
They have marmots.
That's the one I... Steve!
Yes!
Steve! Steve! From the old memes there.
Alan! 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 Alan!
Meanwhile, the rest of us just get to hang out here.
Yes. Well, you've got your trips coming up.
I got some exciting ones coming up. I am definitely having to earn my nickname dossier on this one.
Well,
because it's a place that not many people go paddling.
True, true.
I think in the past 26 years, I think I've seen 5 trip logs in 26 years.
I can see why.
And they think 4 of them have been... kayaks in groups.
Oh, yeah.
And one's been small sailboats,
like
single person sailboats. So I don't know that I've seen any solo trips here yet.
You show me your dossier, and I can understand why it's called a dossier. It's like I've never seen people go that detail before.
Right?
Good work.
Right? My mileage, my Google Maps down to...
The folder looks... It looked like when you open the folder, I look down at it. It's like, I've seen this in murder mysteries and movies where they're looking for a murderer and there's all these lines.
I'm just looking for places to hide bodies.
It's like, well, this is very thorough.
There's 2 dossiers to every story, my friend. Anyway, so yeah, we'll talk about that closer to the date in...
Back.
August.
Backed in the future.
Oh, yeah. Woohoo!
How exciting is that?
Good, good, good.
But so for meantime, now, what have you done recently?
What have you done for us lately? So, in our continuing series on the Parks Canada Lock and Paddle.
Yes.
And our goal, my buddy John there and I, our goal to paddle all 3.
Triple Crown.
The Triple Crown Lock and Paddles. All 3 events, Montreal, Peterborough, and... Ottawa. We did Montreal. The Peterborough event was supposed to happen last weekend.
Saturday.
Unfortunately,
yes.
The event was canceled due to concerns over air quality and potential weather. Now, down your way, there was water spouts and everything on Lake Ontario.
Yeah, that's Coburg. What I hear, but I wasn't. Yeah. Well, I didn't see
Oh,
that.
We saw pictures.
I've heard about it after the fact.
Yeah.
But we did get a lot of rain.
Yep.
We did get a lot of rain on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So it got canceled on the Saturday.
Understandable.
But Sunday, the weather was supposed to be beautiful. So I sent Alan Drummond a message and John. I said, why don't we just go Sunday and have our own private VIP, members only, lock and paddle in Peterborough? So we did.
Excellent. Unofficial. It wasn't unofficial. You didn't talk to them, you just went.
Yep.
And it's so free, isn't it? It's because
it's all free because of the Canada Strong Pass. So Sunday, John, myself, and Alan, Alan's from Kingdom Outdoor Products, headed up to Peterborough. Alan met me at my house. John met us up there because he's taking his track. And we headed up to Peterborough to do the Peterborough lift lock on the Trent Severn Waterway. And the day was bright, sunny, warm, slight breeze at times. We met up at the Canadian... There's just beside the Canadian Canoe Museum is Beavermead Park. But it's under construction, so we actually had to launch from the docks at the Canadian Canoe Museum. So I parked across the road in their parking lot and portaged. I'm waiting at the stoplight. Alan presses the button. We're waiting. The cars all stop. I portage the canoe across the road. That's new.
No, actually, I think that would be very predictable.
Right?
Because there is a dock. They have their own dock. Yeah. And it is the Canoe Museum.
So
people would like, another one of those guys.
Yeah. And so I go across and then around
to the
museum.
Yep.
Apparently, there is a sign that says portage route this way. When you've got a canoe on your head.
You don't see these things.
So why would you not, like, put something on the ground?
Oh, that's a good idea. They should put a paint it
Portage this way. So I went right next to the building. So anybody sitting in the museum at that point.
Right at the cafeteria.
Look at that dude, portaging a canoe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, went all the way around there. John was already there setting up his track kayak and stuff like that.
I put money on the fact that somebody in that, because right there in the entryway of the Canoe Museum where you had to pass by is a cafeteria.
Yep.
Somebody would have been sitting there. Somebody got a picture of you portaging past the window. And they posted it online, says, look at this. I'm at the Canoe Museum and somebody portaged by the window.
We're in Canada. So wait till I tell you about in the lock with the big old tour boat.
Oh.
So yeah, John was ready to go. We got our stuff ready to go. There's lots of spots on that. It's a big set of docks there to launch into Little Lake there. And yeah, so we launched in there and fun began. Just a short paddle, like 3 minute paddle to lock 20. So, cause you got to go out of Little Lake. There's a lock into the canal, Ashburnham. You got to go through that one in order to get up to the lift lock. And when we got close, there was two boats already in the lock. A third was heading in. The lock master, asked us to hold back as there was a fishing boat that needed to go in before us. And so that would be no problem. And then we went and we were right at the back. If you're ever concerned about paddling through a lock in your canoes or kayaks, there's always people there to help you out. They'll answer any questions you have about doing it, how to do it, that sort of deal. The lock staff are really, really nice and friendly. Any questions you got, they'll definitely help you out. You may want to go to the lock beforehand if you're that worried about it. See it from the upper side, looking down into the lock and see how it all works out. And then you got more time to stand there and talk to some of the staff and say, if I'm coming through here, what side should I go on? Should I be at the end, the front? What can I expect? And you can see how the lock actually works before you actually decide to paddle through. It is pretty cool. So if you've never done it, do it.
It is. Yes. I've done it a couple times.
I've done it many, many, many times. You did it with me. A couple of times.
Yeah.
Right. After we were in, the doors closed. We were way at the back. The water started. It was a really slow rise. So there was the fishing boat ahead of us. And then ahead of them was a smallish boat. And there was a big tour boat, double-decked tour boat.
Yeah.
And the amount of people on there. Number one, half of them were watching the doors close. So they're filming and taking pictures of the doors closing.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a big
they're taking videos.
I've been through them a few times. I still video it.
Right?
It's really wild.
So then you can see they're pointing their... Oh, yeah, there's lots of boats, but look at that. That's a canoe.
This is unusual.
And a kayak.
These guys are... We're going to see somebody die today.
Well, no, they were... I'm just assuming not from this country.
Okay.
Right? So they were all tourists. So to see a canoe in a lock
In Canada.
In Canada.
In Ontario. Yeah. Yep.
Right? They're sort of like, oh, look at this. They are everywhere.
This is wild.
Where is the igloos and the huskies?
Are they going to say A? Are you like, hey, how's it going, A?
How's it going, A? So actually, there was when we were coming back, they did a big, they get to a certain point, turn around and come back. And as they're going, lift lock was they're heading out. There was some older people up there, and they're looking. I wave, and they're all waving back. You know, like he saw. And then when they're coming back, they're all standing watching us paddle up, and I wave, and there's like 50 people waving at us. And if that's what it took to make their holiday,
exactly.
I'm glad I was a part of it. Right.
He's a real lumberjack with a canoe.
Yeah, so like I say, I mean, they're sitting there, they're watching how everything works, and they're watching the kayak and the canoe, and of course, John's boat's like red and white.
Yep.
Right? So it's got the colors and all
John
that.
John has kayak?
There's kayak, I should say, yeah. We made it to the top, doors open, they let us out. We were the last ones, of course, the last ones in, last ones out. Big boats are limited in their speed going down the canal.
Yes.
So we're just keeping up with them.
Yeah.
This is great. Man, are we flying? So by the time they got to the tour boat was in, just in the lock, the lift lock, and then the other ones were starting to go in. By the time we got there, like, we just went in with everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Because we were at the same speed.
Just as fast as
them. So big boats were there and in already, and we just boomed right in. Last one's in the tub. Again, we were asked to, you know, stay at the back. One other canoe came in, a family with a mom, dad, and a kid came in as well. They were on the other side of us, and they all just having a blast getting up there. There was a few kayaks and more kayaks than canoes. A lot of the canoes that were being rented at the canoe museum were sticking around the docks.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody in kayaks, you saw them starting to go up the locks and stuff like that. And only I saw a couple of canoes actually go up the locks. So, the lock staff, the first lock and then this one here, the lift lock as well. How far are you guys going? Are you coming back soon? Are you coming back at all? And because they like to
radio ahead.
Yeah, you've got a couple of, you got a canoe and a kayak coming. You got a few boats ahead of that and whatnot, just to give them a heads up.
And I've seen that not for canoes, but I've seen that for other boats.
Yeah.
Where I've gone into the lock and they'll yell down to us. Yeah, there's two more boats coming. We're just waiting for them to come along.
Yeah.
And so it's, okay. So instead of locking a half-empty lock, they'll just wait for the boats to get there.
That happened to us when we did the Trent Severn.
That's where we were
waiting.
Yeah,
and waiting and waiting because they didn't say I'll phone the lock ahead and let them know you're coming.
Yeah,
so they pulled over and decided they were going to just lounge away. And meanwhile, we're sitting there for 40 minutes.
Oh, they got a lunch break. What's going on?
Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, no, that was pretty cool. Like I say, the staff there are very friendly. They ask questions. They'll answer questions.
Yeah, honestly, like
really great.
The few times that I've done it, and I've gone up there and just to watch the locks work. Yep. I don't know why I was in Bob Cajun, but we were there. We stopped, had lunch. I did it with the boys one time on a bike trip, and I did it with a family. We just stopped at the Bob Cajun lock and watched the boats go through. Right. And the people that were working the locks were just like super chatty.
Mm-hmm.
They're helpful, and we just asked questions, and they asked us questions, and it was very cool.
Yep.
Very neat. Oh, one of the times was I was with you at the Bob Cajun lock when we were waiting for Peter. No.
Oh,
was no, it Peter? Yeah,
yeah, Peter Frank. Peter Frank was there. We were waiting for him
and
to come through.
So remember the girl and the guy that was there? They're super chatty about it.
Yep. Yep. That's pretty cool. If you ever get the chance to go through the Peterborough lift lock, definitely do it.
Oh, yes.
It is quite the unique experience.
So anybody who's seen a lock, this is not a normal lock.
No.
A lift lock is just like it's a scale type thing. It's two platters that raise and lower. It's so different. And
you got one tub that has the boats in at the bottom. One tub has boats in at the top.
Yep.
And then they just...
And it's just a weight differential.
Yeah.
There's no active mechanical thing working. It's just...
This gravity and... The engineering behind it all is pretty cool. But,
yeah.
But yeah, even when we were coming back and we were in there, and you look up, there's boats going. You're like, oh, they're leaving.
Yeah.
And you're just watching them. Where are you guys going?
It's very neat. It's very different experience. There's a lock in, is it Scotland, the one that rotates?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of that one, but white that's one cool.
I want to do that one day.
That's, somebody sent me that one, and after we did, talked about last week, the Montreal one, somebody sent me that, and it's just like, that is awesome.
Yeah, that's on the to-do list.
There's a few cool locks out there in the world. So when we left the lock, the larger boats, they just motored on without us. We gave them a break. We didn't hold them back. we had a nice paddle down the river, passed under a couple of bridges, one being a swing bridge that, you know, you could reach up and touch.
Yeah.
But the boats all have to wait. There were pigeons under it, and none of them pooped on Alan.
Well, that's good. Well, but did they poop on you?
Nope.
Well, you mentioned that they didn't poop on Alan specifically. I just assumed that they pooped on somebody else.
Didn't poop on me. So I was looking at him going, come on, as Alan's going under. Nope. I thought Mother Nature was supposed to work with me on this. it was nice. There's a few big boats past us, and we came out to one bridge, and the boats were coming, and we were coming towards it, like we were coming towards each other.
Yep.
And they actually stopped and waited for us to get under the bridge and clear before they
came. Oh, so they didn't wake you
up. That was really nice.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of boating etiquette.
Courtesy and etiquette,
Mm-hmm. There's a, is it Leboot? LeBoot.com. They're big boats, rental boats.
Yeah.
So instead of your regular little houseboat, this thing's bigger.
Okay. Wow.
And there's a lot of them.
Hmm.
So I don't know if this is a new company. The boats don't look new, but I've ever seen them before.
Because there's Eganville houseboat. There's three that I know of because we looked at renting. We never did.
Mm-hmm.
But there's three of them we looked at in the past. I had never heard of that one. Must be a new one.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
The boats don't look all new, but.
Yeah. They might have bought somebody out.
Oh, the I felt like sending the message. Okay, here's the boat number. You might want to go out and find where they are,
talk
and
to them.
Give them another go through one on how to run that boat. There's, you know, because they're using the side thrusters instead of turning with the wheel.
Oh.
And all you hear is, vzz, vzz,
vzz.
And you're like, vzz, vzz, vzz. And you're like, oh, give it a break.
Yeah.
It's not a video game. Pew, pew. So, yeah, there were some big boats going the other way. Not many going with us.
Okay.
Like, there was a few boats originally that went up. And then, the tourist boat came back, and we did the whole wave thing and smiles all around
smile
on the boat.
Smile away, boys.
Smile away, boys. And but there was no one else coming our way going up with us.
Okay.
So we turned around eventually and then started headed back to the lift lock. We went down the lift lock. And again, we went through the lift lock. With these boats that were just like, and then when we're waiting for to get out of the lift lock, the one boat started its engine. And we were in there and waiting and waiting. And dude, turn it off till you see the doors open.
The door's not open. It takes a long time for the door to open.
So it's like, and then, so we're distantly going, okay, you know what? Just situational awareness here, fellas.
Yeah.
Watch.
You got a couple small watercraft that you can suck into your propeller.
Yeah. So, we're just keeping our eyes open. And again, the lift lock opened and we did a little hoot and holler in there. Woo! lock and paddle! Woo! So we're counting it.
Yeah.
John and I are counting it as the second crown in the triple crown.
Yeah.
We're counting this as our Peterborough lift lock day. So they all go out. And we're paddling behind them and not too far behind them, but the swing bridge isn't open.
Oh.
So all these big boats are waiting in line. And we just paddle by the old boats. We're looking at them.
See you,
and
boys.
Then we tucked underneath the swing bridge because the lock 20, when boats come up from there, somebody from lock 20 comes over to the swing bridge to open it. So the boats were just coming up. So there was nobody to open the swing bridge. So under the swing bridge we went. See ya, suckers.
See ya, boys.
And off we went. So, we paddled by all of them, got under the bridge, made it to lock 20 before they did. There was a lock full of boats coming up from Little Lake. As we're coming out, you know, the swing bridge did open once they were going. And then, yeah, some, you know, the boats were coming around to one side that were following us, and the ones coming out of lock went the other side so they could pass. There was four boats that had the Great Loop flag. They were doing the Great Loop. So I yelled out to one lady.
Yeah.
I asked, "Are you guys doing the Great Loop?" "Yeah, we started in Minnesota." So if they were heading up to the... they were heading back up towards Georgia Bay at this point.
Okay.
Right?
Hmm.
So...
Right on.
But yeah, so they had the flags at the front and all that sort of stuff. And it's cool to be able to recognize them and go, yeah, that's the Great Loop.
Yeah.
So there are a bunch of loopers going through. And so that was kind of cool to see that. And then, yeah, everybody got back into the big boats, got back into the lock. We were at the end there. And the one guy at the back of the one boat wasn't really paying attention. He's more interested on his phone than on his rope.
Oh.
And so we're at the back and holding on to the one cable that comes down.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you got this massive boat pushing you backwards into the...
Oh.
So it is possible to hang on to that cable in a canoe and pull yourself forward and move a massive boat forward. Because also the guy in the front's like looking like, what the heck? Because they're moving forward now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, because otherwise, we're getting smacked. Because your dude at the back here isn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was a couple other people that were talking and stuff like this. Here's how you do this.
Yeah.
So they're learning. Yeah. I mean, they're tourists, sure. So you're not going to get pissed off or anything and scream at them or anything. You're just sort of like... Roll your eyes and go, yeah, you know, so, you know, you don't want to ruin their, if it got really dangerous, then there would have been swearing.
Yeah.
Hey, you. Oh, it would have been more than, hey, you. but, you know, they're doing something new and whatnot. Yeah. And so, you know.
You got some leeway.
Yeah. So the boats, you know, started heading out once the doors opened and, the driver of the boat in front of us shouted down to us to let us know he was going to start his engine.
Hmm. Good for him.
Thank you very much. So we could back up a little bit there and boom, we started up the engine. Again, a little bit of, and these are one of the newer peoples.
Yeah.
A little bit of etiquette, which was really, really nice to see. So it's not all doom and gloom out there. You know, there's still people that are thinking about stuff. So, once out of the lock, we made a little short trek back to the community museum docks, loaded the gear back on the truck. And this time, I followed the proper portage, waited at the light with my canoe, and then headed across, loaded everything back up, and went over for a quick bite to eat something Jack, One-Eyed Jack or something,
oh, yeah.
Little pub. So just had some, like, brisket mac and cheese. And
cool.
Yeah, the brisket wasn't as good as mine.
Oh, no?
No. Once you've had my brisket.
Okay.
Once you've had homemade brisket from your own smoker, that's just not as good. We had a bite to eat. We made a quick stop in Whitby at MEC, Mountain Equipment Co-op there, because Jeff of Jeff Maps was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stopped in to say hello to him, check out some of his
maps. Oh, he was
maps.
There too?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he makes the circuit of all the different mechs.
Good for him.
And sells his maps and points stuff out and how to read them, that sort
of
stuff.
It is his job.
Right? And picked up a couple of tarp poles. And
I saw those. I'm jealous.
Right? So you don't need trees. You got these tarps. Exactly. Really lightweight.
Yeah.
Pack in, no problems. Again, it wasn't the official Peterborough Lock and Paddle, but we're counting it towards our Lock and Paddle Triple Crown anyway for this year because, you know, there are a few other canoes, like I say, and kayaks going through the locks as well. All in all, an absolute great day.
Mm-hmm.
Great weather, great company, nice chats with people on the boats and stuff
awesome.
Like that. Third event of the Lock and Paddle and Triple Crown is in Ottawa, Saturday, August 15th. I think my brother's going to jump in the front of my canoe.
Perfect.
I got some buddies that live there are going to come out and
and
do it with us as well. I think John's going to come as well. So, yeah, August 15th, baby.
Excellent.
Woohoo!
Huh.
Good times. So, yeah, if you get the chance to go out and do Lock and Paddle in Ottawa, we'll be there. It's a good time. It's fun had by all. And if you don't have time to do that, definitely go check out a lock at some point.
What's the date of that Ottawa one?
August 15th. Yeah, Saturday. You are not in town.
I don't know if I am or not.
According to your schedule.
Isn't
I think you're camping.
Oh, that week I am camping. Yeah, I am camping. Yeah.
Doing the whole fam jam thing.
Yes.
Fam jam.
We don't know where we're going yet. Gonna
are you
like,
going to go to Ottawa, maybe?
No.
Camp in Ottawa?
It's going to be... There's a chance it'll be in Algonquin, but most likely Killarney. Or Temagami. So 10% chance it'll be Algonquin. We've done Algonquin so much that we're trying to branch out. It's like Killarney or Temagami.
Mind you, have they been to the Barron Canyon? Camped in there?
We sort of were. We hiked the trail that looked down into the canyon.
Yeah, but you haven't camped there.
No, we haven't camped.
Go camp there.
Yeah. Give me because
side.
Some of the helicopters and planes from Petawawa fly over the canyon.
Yeah, it comes down to interesting. Look on the east side.
We've seen C-130s fly over us on Radiant a couple times. I don't know.
Well, when you and I were up there.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's been on Radiant in the day and not been flown over by a C-130.
Right?
It's a daily route. It's the it's their milk run.
Right? It's training.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Missouri speed record.
Oh, yes.
The guy who's paddling down the Missouri River.
I've been following them. It was awesome.
You're not following them anymore because has been broken.
Correct.
July 18th.
Yep.
24 days, 16 hours, 51 minutes, and 11 seconds.
Even down to the second.
Is the new unofficial time to paddle the entire Missouri River. 2,341 miles, 3,767 kilometers. It sounds more impressive in kilometers, doesn't it?
It's a big number.
2,300 or 4,000.
Yeah.
Verlin Krueger and Steve Landick did it in 33 days, 18 hours, 34 minutes back in 1980.
46 years ago.
However.
So it stood a long time.
It has stood a long time. Peter Larson.
Yes.
July 3rd of this year, solo, unsupported, 32 days, 6 hours, 7 minutes.
Yep.
So he actually broke that 46-year-old
record.
And held
it for 15 days.
2 weeks later. I'm like, here, hold my beer, watch this. So you got to think there's got to be an asterisk next to those, you know, four men versus a solo.
Well, yeah, exactly, right? So this guy, I don't know. So he did solo and unsupported, whereas the group that just finished on the 18th, they were fully supported.
Mm-hmm.
They had a crew that followed them.
Yep.
And
there was four of them.
Yeah.
One slept. So there's always three paddlers.
Yeah, there's always three paddlers. One guy's always sleeping.
Air and a spare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, regardless, congrats to everybody there, and now it's just hopefully things like this will get more people out to go, oh, well, if you did it in 24 days.
Yeah. 24 days, though, that's a huge cutoff from, that's 9 days less, right? So, that's a lot of time to cut off.
Well, 46 years, too, different.
Yeah, it took a long time.
You had two guys doing it.
Yeah.
So the one guy record versus the two guy record versus the four guy record.
Yeah.
So there's lots of asterisks flying around here.
Yeah.
The other big thing going on with the wildfires still, going through boundary waters, people are coming up with unique ways to try to save some of their boats.
It's very interesting. And it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. I'd do that too, I guess. If I'd thought about it, these guys thought about it.
See, and the first thing I thought of when I saw this was Lake Mendota.
Yes. Right? Me too.
So there's a YMCA camp that has sunk all their canoes in hopes they survive the fires. And then afterwards, they can go back, raise them from the bottom, and hopefully... Now, they were saying, though, that a lot of the ones that they sunk were damaged and they needed to repair them.
They were so instead
of
repair.
Instead of hauling them out and then bringing them back and finish repairing them, they just sunk them.
Sunk them, dry them out, repair them later.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's what they say over the winter and stuff in Lake Mendota. Those thousand years ago, they would bury them.
To protect them from winter.
To protect them from winter and stuff like that. And then bring them up. Same deal.
Yeah.
Right?
This is brilliant. So did you see the photos of it?
Yeah.
It
it's looked eerie really cool. though, right?
Yeah, this row of canoes all different colors.
Just underwater.
Yeah.
So if you're paddling under that, it's like...
Oh.
So there was an old... We paddled Georgian Bay, and there was an old...
Oh, the old
dock,
the old
piers, fishing piers.
But there's also old ships you can pass over.
Oh no! These are just the piers.
Oh.
We didn't know they were there.
Oh, okay.
So all the pilings and everything are still there. So also you're zipping across, and it was nice, calm glass, and you look down, and all of a sudden, whoa, jeez,
what was that?
There's all these. There's like a pier.
Yeah.
It looks like a town underwater sort of thing there.
And
right?
the tips of the poles are cut off by the ice in the winter.
Yeah.
The ice moves, snaps off the tips, so everything is just like a foot or two underwater.
Yep. Yep. And you don't know they're there. Holy jeez.
What is that?
After camp equipment had been loaded in the trailer and staff were ready to head to another location, Ben Hoffman, the camp's YMC camp's executive director, said the camp has more than 100 boats and decided to sink those that needed extensive repairs. Doesn't mean the camp is ready to abandon its home. The symbols of our paddles, our canoes, our maps, our sashes and hats that hang in our tripping center, those are all reflective of the amazing things that's happened and also the amazing things that will continue to, he says. Camp will remove the canoes and continue repairs in the future. So, cool idea. Really cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get back to the regular yucky stuff.
Oh, well.
Tick season.
And we haven't, we talked about tick season a lot in the past, and we didn't say anything for a couple years.
Except that Kevin Callan seems to get attacked by ticks all the time.
Well, he has sweet blood or something.
I don't know what he's got, but they love him.
We just haven't talked about it because it's, until there's something new.
Well, now there's something new.
There is.
Tick season's in full swing. Lyme disease cases are climbing, along with other lesser-known tick-borne illness. While Lyme disease is by far the number one illness black-legged ticks transmit to humans in Canada, Dr. Isaac Bogach says, he's an infectious disease specialist at Toronto General Hospital, says that healthcare providers are now seeing a rise in anaplasmosis cases. It's here, and there's an increasing number of cases, he says, noting that it's treatable. Prevention is the best approach. Weather conditions and global warming are helping ticks survive and thrive over the winter months. More than 100 black-legged ticks or deer ticks have been reported in Ontario in the first half of July on etick.ca. There's a website I want to hang out on. etick.ca. Go there and get all your icky viewing.
Yeah, if you want to get paranoid and scratchy and itchy, right? It's like, why am I so itchy now?
A dozen blackleg ticks have also been documented in July on inaturalist.org, with people spotting them in places like Tiny Township, Georgian Bay Islands National Park, Caledon, Parry Sound, Uxbridge, which is not far from us, Campbellcroft, Huron Shores, and Petroglyphs Provincial Park. We're definitely seeing an increase in tick populations and an expanding geographic range of ticks. Sadly, a lot of this is due to winters in Canada. They are not as cold or as long as they once were.
The key thing, I think it is, we reported on this earlier, if you need like minus 30 for 20 days for tick populations to be reduced by 80, 90%. If it's not, doesn't get that cold for that long a period of time, the ticks don't crystallize and freeze and pop. They will survive to the next season. And that's the issue. They don't freeze.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing with your lawn getting the grubs. If the lawn doesn't freeze deep enough,
exactly,
the grubs survive.
Survive to the next season.
Because it hasn't reached them down there. And then, according to Health Canada, anaplasmosis is a tick-borne zoonotic disease caused by the bacterium Anaplasma phagocytophilium.
There's a word for you.
Yeah. I hate talking these topics.
There's too many sciencey words here.
Too sciencey. There are other two strains of bacteria, one that infects people most often, and the other variety is a considered non-pathogenic and does not infect humans. Yay! It is a spread to humans through infected black-legged ticks, similar to Lyme disease. Infected black-legged ticks can also spread a disease called babesiosis, and a more rare Powassan virus. We've talked about those before. Yeah. Powassan, named for the town in northern Ontario called Powassan. Ticks can become infected with bacteria through feeding on other wild animals as they're infected, including rodents and birds. Not all ticks are infected with diseases. Not everyone bitten by a tick will develop signs or symptoms of a disease. What's interesting is, in highly endemic areas of the United States, 10 to 15% of cases of Lyme disease will also have anaplasma or babesiosis infection as well. One disease, get two for free.
Yeah.
The incubation period for anaplasmosis infection is 5 to 21 days. Scientists have learned the bacteria can survive for more than 1 week in refrigerated blood. Symptoms of anaplasmosis are quite similar to Lyme disease, which makes it challenging to distinguish, but it can be confirmed through lab tests.
Well, hang on a sec. So, I'm just reading this. So, they learned that the bacteria can survive for more than 1 week in refrigerated blood. So, if you get it and you donate blood, I wonder if they have conditions for donated blood that the blood must be stored for a certain period of time before you can put it back into another human.
Or can you imagine, you talking don't... about the blood that you take out of yourself, freeze it overnight, and then put it back in?
I don't do that.
What do you mean you don't do that? I got to think they test when things are getting this.
Yeah.
Especially in the summer. You got to think they're doing all these little tests on the blood that you...
These blood donations, it's got to be so expensive because you have to take it, you have to test it for so many things.
Well, I know one lady goes for blood. She doesn't donate blood. She donates plasma.
Yeah, I've heard that's a thing too. Yeah.
Right? No, yeah. I need my blood. Give me more. Symptoms can include fever, muscle aches and pains, joint pains, and rash. It can, but not commonly, impact the heart or nervous system. Some people don't get sick at all, while others may require hospitalization. So it's, there's nothing wrong with you. You're going to die. These infections are not hard to diagnose in Ontario, and they are reportable infections in Ontario as of a few summers ago. According to Public Health Ontario, there have been 89 cases of anaplasmosis in Ontario this year, as of July 12th, compared to 651 cases of Lyme disease and one case of Powassan virus. It's that one guy. It's one in every group. Good news is the treatment for anaplasmosis is straightforward, as patients are treated with antibiotics. Easy peasy.
But... yeah, so that's for anaplasmosis, but yeah. With Lyme disease, it can be persistent.
Oh, yeah.
Very persistent.
Yep. Along with the fact Canadian winters aren't as cold or as long as they were decades ago, ticks are traveling further north. Ticks don't respect political boundaries.
Passport, please.
And also, I feel like they've been in Canada longer than we think just because they weren't recognized as a threat. According to the National Collaborating Center for Environmental Health, a review on ticks in Canada showed changing animal migration patterns and land fragmentation contributed to more ticks being seen in the country. Along with black-legged ticks, the Lone Star, American Dog, and Rocky Mountain Wood ticks have all been reported in Canada as well. See, in a couple years ago when we were talking about the Lone Star, It hadn't reached Canada yet.
Exactly, but now they're here.
It was getting closer to the upper states, But it hadn't actually come to Canada yet. It is estimated the range is expanding northwards by 35 to 55 kilometers per year. There's also potential for the Asian longhorned tick to also make its way to Canada. It was first reported in the United States in 2017. In Canada, blackleg ticks are the most common.
Which are deer ticks,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, yeah. In the U.S. at the moment, there are a lot of controversy over the Lone Star or Longhorned tick, which can transmit an infection known as alpha-gal syndrome or a red meat allergy.
We've been hearing a lot about this lately.
Right?
It's becoming more recognized. And it's like, what do you mean you can't eat a hamburger? So,
could you imagine being in Texas?
Yes.
And getting this, and you can't have brisket, and you can't,
I want my barbecue.
You can't have any of that barbecue because, you know, you got bit by this bug. Yeah. That was, yeah. Bogosh stressed that it has nothing to do with the anaplasmosis or the black-legged tick, this alpha-gal syndrome. That's a completely different issue from a completely different tick. It's exceedingly rare in Canada so far. The concern is after the particular infected tick's saliva gets in the human bodies, it can cause our antibodies to develop an immune response, which then causes an allergy to red meat and dairy. Oh, and dairy.
Oh, I didn't know about the dairy, but it's large protein.
So no brisket milkshake?
I want my brisket milkshake. But yeah, it makes sense. Anything with it's the large protein thing. Your body suddenly has trouble with large protein things like meat and dairy.
Yep. Exceedingly rare in Canada, but no one would be surprised if we saw more cases in the future. While the increase in tick sightings may be a concern for nature lovers, Bogosh encourages people to continue their normal activities outdoors. We live in the most beautiful country on the planet. We should be spending as much time outdoors as possible, especially during summer months when it's just gorgeous out there. The key to prevent Lyme, anaplasmosis, or other tick-borne infections is prevention. Number one, insect repellent is pretty helpful. I know there's a big thing the last couple of years. I'm not spraying anything on me. And you see the word DEET, and that's,
Everybody freaks out.
A bad word.
It's dangerous.
Using a DEET formula or one with picaridin?
Yeah.
Or oil of lemon, eucalyptus, can deter ticks from latching onto you. Alternatively, a Canadian-made DEET-free formula was just approved by Health Canada earlier this year called Pure Guard, which has proved successful in deterring tick bites. Pure Guard. Gonna have to check that out. Along with pest repellent, other strategy to prevent tick bites is to wear long sleeves, long pants when possible, tuck your pant legs into your socks or boots or whatever. Final way to prevent tick bites is to do a tick check on yourself, your family members, and pets after coming indoors. And you got a dog with a lot of fur. That's really hard. Sweep any ticks off, and if they're embedded, you can look up a video on YouTube on how to properly remove a tick to ensure the mouthpiece of the tick is removed as well. If you miss the opportunity, a pharmacy or healthcare provider may provide you with a prescription for doxycycline, which can prevent bacterial infection. And should you develop symptoms of Lyme, anaplasmosis, or other tick-borne illness, a healthcare provider can treat the condition as needed. So there's a lot you can do.
There is.
Mm-hmm. Tickety tick, tick, tick. No, I've had one tick in me when I was 15 out in Saskatchewan, and I've been through the woods, and people have gone with Kevin Callan. It just like gets covered in them all the time.
I've never had a tick on me.
Yeah?
I have to catch one. I've seen videos where people go, look, this is how you find ticks, whatever. Their ticks work on opportunity. They don't really have sight. They kind of see in the infrared spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel the heat of a body going by, whether it's animal or human. And I've seen video where people zoomed in on tall grass, and the ticks are all like dozens of them at the tips of tall grass. So when you're passing through grass, it just you kind of sweep the grass across your legs and thighs, and that's how they get on you. So obviously in short grass, they climb onto your shoes and ankles and climb up.
Right.
So you put DEET on your legs. But if you are getting them on your pants and they crawl up on under your shirt and whatever, then that's another way to get in on board, right? So you just have to do a good tick check. And we always do good tick checks of the kids when we're out hiking or doing whatever. And but I don't know, maybe there's something in my DNA that I passed on to the kids. We've never, fortunately, never had ticks on us.
Yeah. No, we've, like I said, I had that one year back in Saskatchewan, yeah. And I've never had another one since.
Hmm.
As far as I know.
Yeah, as far as you know.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Maybe they took a bite and went,
this one's sour.
What's not wrong with this one? So still keep your eyes out, and there is more things. So even if you do get bit, yeah, make sure you're keeping track of how you're feeling and stuff like that, because yeah, things may be not as you hope.
Hmm.
Got one more thing here, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, weird is a good word for it.
A man was stunned. We could just leave it at that.
Done. Story done.
A man was stunned when cops pulled him over for paddleboarding and told him he risked a 1,000-pound fine for not having a river license.
So clearly we just found a geographic area where this story's located.
Right? It's over in England. Ross Matheson, 35, was out on River Medway of Maidstone, Kent, with a pal on July 3rd when he claims they were approached by police. Now, there is video out there,
so,
and you can hear them.
Why do they say claims?
Well, I don't
like that word.
Yeah.
That's like allegedly.
Allegedly.
The shooter allegedly shot that person that we have on video. It's like, well, you can't say allegedly in this case.
Environment Agency and Kent police, who are patrolling together, told him he needed a river license to use his paddleboard to avoid being slapped with a hefty fine. A 65-pound waterways or river license is required if you want a canoe, kayak, or stand-up paddleboard on most rivers and canals in England and Wales, according to Paddle UK.
I've never heard of this before.
Hmm. Failure to have this can result in a fine or being asked to leave the water. Get out. Video footage on the internet shows police in a boat alongside Ross on his paddleboard, captioned, "We got pulled over for paddleboarding without a license," which has since gone viral with more than 607,000 views. In the clip, you can hear Ross asking police, "You need a river license to paddle a paddleboard? That's crazy." And this goes back to our thing is like, how many people actually know this? People that do it once or twice a year. How many of them actually know you need a license?
Right? We cover a lot of these things across the world.
Yeah.
And we've complained and talked about all the licensing things going down in the States, and different states are bringing in new licensing. You got to license every watercraft you use. But somehow nobody's ever reached out, or we've never heard that this is the same thing.
Right.
Well, that's crazy. Like, it's not crazy. It's just unexpected.
Yeah. Having owned his paddleboard for 2 years and never once being stopped, the car recovery business owner believes the license is ridiculous.
Why do they have to bring his job here?
I don't know. So the other thing here we've also said, is it, do you buy the license or beg for forgiveness saying, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Ross says he will absolutely not be purchasing a river license and will take his chances, but hopes to spread awareness as the fine could be devastating for people.
Oh, yeah. 1,000 pounds.
Right?
Well, I got to do a conversion here.
Was that like 1,700 bucks?
Something like that.
Ross says he will absolutely not buy one, which is, we've had those discussions. Well, just don't buy one and hope for the best. Because there's a lot of places you go where you're never going to get stopped. Ross from Rochester, Kent said, "It was disbelief when they first approached me. I thought, why are we being approached on paddleboards? And am I hearing this right? We need a license? Comes with a 1,000-pound fine," which is how much?
$1,887 as of today's conversion rate.
Almost $2,000.
That's a huge fine. That's massive.
So do you pay 65 or do you pay 2,000?
Or because you never heard of it before, I'm just taking my chances because it sounds like it's not very common to be stopped.
Right?
You can outrun a powerboat with a paddleboard, right?
Just go to the shore and run. Are you going to fine us then, he says? Officer said, no, you have to be caught a few times.
Okay.
Well, you go out three times a year.
I understand.
You're golden, buddy.
I now understand the rules.
Wait.
So
I need 65 pounds for the fine, but if you catch me, you could fine me, but you're not going to count 3-4 strikes them out, depending on who I get that day.
And so you just have to complain every single time. It's like, I've never heard of this.
Had I known. Do you sell them?
I'll buy one right now.
Well, let me just finish my day and I'll buy one on the way home for next time. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
I got to do some more research into this because it just, when I first saw it, I'm thinking, were these real cops? Was these just scammers?
No,
hey, we caught you doing something, but apparently they were there.
Yeah. Next thing, they want $65 a year for a river license. It's pretty crazy. I just think it's hilarious. I think it's ridiculous you need a license. Where do you draw the line? If I turned up with a rubber ring,
true.
And is that also a vessel that needs licensing? Where do you want to take it, right?
Yeah.
License money goes towards waterway authorities, helping them clean and maintain waterways and repair flood damage. Ross says, I will absolutely not be buying a river license. Not a chance. I'll take my chances. I do get some regular use out of the paddleboard, but most people only use it once a year. Are they going to pay £65 to go through and go through the work paperwork of doing a day pass? It just takes the fun out of it. To some people, that fine could be devastating. I'm lucky enough that I just sit there and laugh at it. The Environment Agency spokesman said, we manage and maintain more than 600 miles of inland waterways across England, keeping them open and safe for thousands of boaters and others to enjoy. Registration fees for boats, canoes, kayaks, dinghies, and paddleboards contribute to a reasonable proportion towards the cost of navigation services and facilities we have for river users. Kent police confirmed they were patrolling the area with the Environment Agency on said July 3rd.
So they said, yes, we were checking.
We were there checking. So, you know what they didn't know to list on here? A coracle.
Oh.
So if I go out my old coracle, sorry, it wasn't on your list. Unless they're counting a dinghy.
Yeah.
But now a dinghy's something different.
So the fee, the license fee... And so, I just converted 65 pounds. That's $122 Canadian. $122, is that license for life or is that for a year?
I thought that was for a year.
So, that's more than it typically costs to license a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it never actually said if it was for a year.
That's pretty steep.
Or not. Yeah, it's... And if you go once or twice a year,
that's a lot.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Huh.
Unless, like I say, unless it's a lifetime sticker you put on your canoe or something. Okay, I can see that. But I'm not paying $120.
I get it. If you have one of those canal boats, one of those long boats,
or
you've got some other watercraft, powered watercraft. But if you're out on a stand-up paddleboard, it's like. I don't agree with that.
Have you seen all those things lately? There's floods and where people are saving raccoons.
That was on. That's on top of my note to talk about tonight. The Texas raccoon rescue.
Right? So I'm sorry, but if those people come up demanding £1,000, I'm throwing a rabid raccoon at them.
Here, catch.
Sorry, buddy. Their boat's better than mine. I'm throwing a raccoon at you. Yeah, that's something. I've seen a couple of raccoons being rescued on stand-up paddle boards.
Yeah.
And the one's getting up there. And she's going, trying to grab them to bring them up. And the animals don't understand
that we're trying to save you.
And while you're drowning, you're trying to bite me? That's what that squirrel did. I mean, that's got that scar on my... Because he was stuck in the fence.
Oh.
Right? So I'm trying to get him out of the fence. He turns around and bites me.
As far as he was concerned, you're about to eat him.
Right? And of course, now there's this blood trail all the way up my driveway.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, you're in distress. I'm not going to,
yeah.
You just hang on there. I'm going to go find a pair of leather gloves in my garage. I'm going to put the dog away.
But yeah, that raccoon rescue thing on a stand-up paddleboard, that was in Texas.
Yep.
And that raccoon took it quite well. Mm-hmm. He was very calm. So it was, you could see the raccoon was going under. It was heavy rain, and they managed to get it on the stand-up paddleboard, and it at one point it tried to cross over to the other board. She pulled away, and then it circled around, and it was heavy rain, so the raccoon tucked underneath the guy.
Because he was kneeling.
He was kneeling down on the stand-up paddleboard, and the raccoon just tucked underneath, and he was like, okay.
Off we go.
He was very calm. I'd be worried about a raccoon.
Well, they got to shore. And he made
bolted.
Like a,
yeah. I'm out of here.
Jerry Vandiver, he does a lot of work rescuing foxes with mange and stuff.
Yeah.
And he posted a video there the other day of releasing one of the foxes. Okay. I just put part fox, part cheetah. Because they open that thing.
It's gone.
It's like, see you later.
I've seen a few, what was it? It was a bison that I saw them release. It was some sort of one of those animal rescue videos. Mm-hmm. And so it showed bears. And so when they release the bear, they usually run around and hide behind the truck because the bear is usually like, I'm free. I'm coming for you.
Right.
And it was a rhino. That's the one I was thinking of. The rhino got released out of the trailer. It turned on them and destroyed the fenders, the tires. That rhino was lifting the truck 2-3 feet off the ground. I can't believe it. It's so strong. But these people were running around their vehicle, and the rhino was trying to get at them. It's like, we just saved you, you son of a...
Shoot him! we got a redo on this one?
I'm here to save you.
Wow. That's all I got this week. You got anything else?
Just the Raccoon River Rescue.
Just the Raccoon River Rescue.
I thought that was so funny. It was so cute that a little raccoon was just hiding under him in the heavy rain.
Right.
It's like, good for them. Good for them. I'd be concerned about it because, you know, you get a bite. What if it's a rabid raccoon? Then suddenly you get needles in the stomach.
Well, and it's panicking too, right?
Yeah. It's freaking out. Oh, dude. It's like, I just get bit by a raccoon. What do I do?
I'm just trying to help you up on the board so I can get you to shore and help you out. And you go and bite me.
So I'm here to save you.
Why I bit you back.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that same story where, what is it, the lion rescues the scorpion, crosses the river, and the scorpion bites him. Why'd you do that? It's in my nature.
In my nature, yeah. Yeah, raccoon went to bite me, but I bit him first. Will I still get rabies?
I bit him first.
He went to bite me. I dodged. I bit him. Can I still get rabies? Asking for a friend named Derek.
and the raccoon's talking back. Where he goes, he started it.
You bit me.
A human bit me.
Well, I get something else?
What can I get from a human bite?
Sorry, dude. You're on your last legs now. Alrighty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can go to our website at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And you can stream or download our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Podbean, Amazon Music, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.